This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant leader who has the role of helping other leaders. We're joined today by Dr. Peter Angood. Dr. Angood serves as the leader of the American Association for Physician Leadership. He's going to tell us about what he's seeing in physician leadership today, what he's seeing in burnout, how leadership makes leaders and physicians sometimes avoid burnout and stay more excited about their careers. Dr. Angood, can you take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us about the American Association for Physician Leadership?
Sure. Thanks so much. Yeah. Hi, my name is Peter Angood. I'm a surgeon by background training, but have been president and CEO of the American Association for Physician Leadership for about 12 years. This is a 50-year-old organization that has predominantly focused on leadership development for physicians, but we are gradually continuing to shift and adjust to the evolving environment out there. So we not only look after physician professional development, but also others in different clinical disciplines, so nurses, pharmacists, et cetera. We have a wide array of information resources, run several journals, et cetera. Plus, we have just a ton of education, a variety of well-recognized credentials, career development support program, including executive coaching. And then we're doing more and more with thought leadership and research in and around leadership and what it is impacting or how it's impacting healthcare. So that's us in a nutshell, Scott.
Well, that's fantastic. Talk about how physician leadership has changed. You've been running this organization for 12 years, but you've been a physician leader longer than that. Talk to us about how physician leadership is evolving over the last couple of decades and what you're seeing with physician leadership.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, unfortunately, still in medical schools and in residency training, predominantly, not 100%, there is no exposure to leadership or to management training for physicians in their training periods. That's starting to change. There's more conversation about the need to have students and trainees exposed to leadership development, but it really is up to the individual still as they get into the formal parts of their career to identify for themselves whether they want to pursue anything in leadership or how do they get the skills if they do want to pursue leadership. Then it's the luck of the draw whether or not they're in the proper environments to learn gradually about management, leadership, who are their peers, who are their mentors, those sorts of things. So for such economically strong industries such as healthcare, it's surprising that the physician population doesn't get all that much exposure. Now, historically, and I think it's still true, that patient-physician relationship is still the dominant driver in healthcare. Yes, there's a variety of other important disciplines, but that's still the dominant driver. As more physicians become employed, they're naturally moving into management and leadership roles. And so a lot of organizations are recognizing that if they appropriately train and expose physicians to leadership opportunities, then their organizations actually start to behave better. And the reason for that is physicians know best how to deliver optimal patient care. Plus, if they've got good education and experiences in leadership, it's kind of like a double whammy there, right? You've got both barrels going in order to provide better performance, better insights, better efficiencies, all of the things that we're looking for in healthcare these days. So we are evolving. There's market demand for better physician leadership. And then I'll close with this last comment, and that is, regardless if physicians go into formal title roles, society still looks at physicians as leaders, indirectly, informally. So at some level, all physicians are leaders, actually.
And let me ask you about two different things. The first one would be, and I want your thoughts on this, that physicians that do something besides straight practicing medicine, for example, if you're a knee surgeon and you do arthroscopies for 30 years plus or whatever it is for 30 years plus, that's all you do, that's almost to me a certain prescription for burnout. Where I find that physicians that do a couple different things, they get themselves involved in leadership, they do some other things that sort of fill their bucket, and they're being much more fulfilled. I'd love your thoughts on that question. Then I'd love your thoughts on one other question. In so many professions, being great at your profession does not necessarily make you a great leader of others in that profession. And I'd love for you to talk about those two things, being a leader or having other outlets to avoid burnout. And second is this mix of greatness in your profession versus greatness in leadership. Any thoughts on those two?
Yeah, no, both excellent questions. And, you know, workforce wellness is a huge topic these days. The pandemic unmasked what was already going on in the workforce. And so, yes, there are a lot of folks that gravitate towards higher levels of anxiety, frustration, burnout, even suicidality, as we've heard. And that's unfortunate. These are highly intellectual, motivated, idealistic, altruistic individuals who want to create change in the world. So when they bump up against inefficiencies and frustrations of trying to create change in a system, that leads to the anxiety, the frustration, and the burnout. So you're right. Those individuals who do keep themselves busy in other areas, whether it's other professional areas or whether it's other areas of avocation. You know, there's a lot of physician writers, a lot of people who pursue different types of avocations to help keep themselves mentally balanced. And we have to recognize 20 to 25% of physicians are non-clinical these days. That's not a new phenomenon. That's been around for several years. So these intellectual driven people seek other ways of personal and professional satisfaction. And they are the ones that tend to be a little bit healthier, a little bit better balanced. So yes, those can be individuals we should emulate, but it also means we need to help others who are struggling a little bit. And how do we help them channel into different directions? So that kind of leads into your second question. It's fine for me to say all physicians are leaders at some level. And we all know of those examples where, hey, you look like you're a good doc. People seem to like you and your peers seem to like you. Your outcomes are okay. Congrats, you got a new leadership job. And then they fail miserably. Why do they fail? It goes back to what I said earlier. They haven't had good enough education and or developmental experiences to help them become better leaders. Because we fail physicians in the formative education side of things, we need to be more proactive in terms of recognizing physicians need better education on leadership and management, and they need formative experiences in order to mature themselves. You don't just stick them into a chief medical officer role. You don't just make them a CEO without that extra education and experience. And that's really what this organization has been doing for 50 years. We've got some great examples of the outcomes from our alumni that have gone through who are creating, you know, multi-million dollar savings in organizations, creating wonderful new programs, turning around organizations on the quality metrics out there, et cetera, et cetera. So when they're exposed, they do better. And it also helps those who are not in formalized roles to also try to emulate better leadership behaviors overall.
Thank you so much. Let me ask you another question. You look at this year, you've got this huge challenge out there. You know, we've got a population of 330 million people. We've got only about 1,060,000 physicians. There's almost more physicians retiring a year than we have starting a year. Any thoughts on what this future looks like? It seems very daunting, quite frankly.
Well, you know, we've sort of been having that Chicken Little phenomenon going on for a few years around the healthcare workforce, not just in the physician population, but in nursing and in pharmacy, et cetera. And I think part of that is because the younger generations aren't necessarily seeing healthcare as an industry that's appealing to enter. Now, and you know, there's faster ways to get educated in other industries and other professions. There's faster ways to get your income stream going, et cetera. And then when you're not yet in our industry, you see these examples of frustration and burnout. Indirectly, they may see their family physician behaving as if they're burnt out, et cetera. So there's a lot that we still need to do as an industry to make this a more appealing industry. Now, having said that, whether it's nurses or pharmacists or physicians or others who do enter the industry, it seems the pandemic created increased interest for those who are interested in healthcare. And then when you survey The physician population that are coming in as medical students or in the early stages of training, they're still the same kinds of people that were going into medicine from eons ago. They're curious about the science. They care about people. They want to create a change. They want to help others. And it gives them professional and personal satisfaction to engage in those kinds of activities. Interestingly, the work-life balance is lower on the priorities than we would expect, and the income levels are surprisingly lower on the priority levels than we would expect also. So it's still that altruism and idealism that's driving these younger folks into this industry. So we have to capitalize on that.
No, fantastic and such a great perspective. Doctor, I'm going to talk about what you're most focused on and excited about this year.
Yeah, it's an industry in this country that's been under duress for not only through the pandemic, but obviously through the past few years. We're starting to see better economic conditions in the industry, and we're therefore starting to see better investment in the industry overall from multiple sectors. And that includes the patient engagement in our industry again. And I think what's exciting is we continue to look at the non-traditional ways of delivering care, but we're also looking at how do we keep the population healthy. We've historically just been focused in on disease management, but now we're focusing on health, staying healthy. And if you're having trouble with a disease or chronic illnesses, there are other ways to be treated outside of the historical physician practice environment or the hospital environment. That's really exciting, I think, because that's ultimately what's better for the population overall. And it's going to be better for, excuse me, all of the different types of providers that are out there.
Thank you. And one last question. I mean, you're in the business of helping educate and develop and train leaders. What advice would you have for emerging leaders? What advice do you give to an emerging leader?
Yeah, whether you're a clinician by background or whether you're coming out of the non-clinical background, but you're interested in healthcare, I think we really do need to stay true to the catchphrase of we need to focus on what's person-centered or patient-centered care, and how do we evolve our systems and processes to really achieve better quality, safety, efficiency, and in these days, value around that. So again, whether you're a clinician or a non-clinician, if you want to head towards leadership, one, recognize your aptitude. Two, assess yourself to see if you're adequate or not. Three, get some education. Four, get some experience. And then five, look for mentors and look for peers that can help you become successful, because the opportunities will then start to come your way. Once you begin to be recognized, then six falls into place, and that's gradual improvement and opportunity flowing your way in your career trajectory. And that's where you can create the change in the industry.
Thank you very, very much. Dr. Angud, anything else you'd like to leave with listeners today? Anything you want to tell people about the Association for American Physician Leadership or the American Association for Physician Leadership and how they can learn more about it?
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity, Scott. So yeah, we, as I said, are 50 years old, but we're also moving into the interprofessional leadership realm. So we're working with other professions, and we're also working into the international realm. What we do, what we represent, is actually relatively unique compared to other countries out there. So the international search for what we offer is pretty high. So if you want to learn more about us, it's go to the website, physicianleaders, all one word, .org, and you'll find all our resources, all our programs, products, and services. And myself or our team, any of us would be happy to connect with you and help you learn more.
Dr. Angud, always a pleasure to visit with you. Amazing what you do. Thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Keep up the good work, Scott.